Off the Ball, GAA.
It's good to make history for the club, and as you see, like, SARS, it means everything to us. After losing county final, to get to a Munster final and represent ourselves and our community, it means everything to
us. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Monday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, Joe Schmidt looks ahead to his big reunion at the Aviva this Saturday. Munster raid the Ireland women's staff for an interim forwards coach. And Leo Cullen discusses his new contract at Leinster, who welcome back a handful of internationals for their Interpro with Ulster. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First today, Munster have moved quickly to replace Andy Kyriakou as forwards coach. Kyriakou announced his departure on Friday, having been promoted to forwards coach in 2022 from his previous role as Munster's elite player development officer. Former Newcastle head coach Alex Codling will join Munster as forwards coach consultant. Codling was only appointed forwards coach to the Ireland women's team in August and played a key role in their successful WXV1 campaign in Canada. The 51-year-old will assume a dual role, working with Munster in an interim capacity as the recruitment process for a permanent appointment continues. Former Ireland centre Brendan Mullen has been jailed for 3 years for stealing over €500,000 from Bank of Ireland. Mullen was convicted on 12 of the 14 charges he faced before a jury at Dublin Circuit Criminal Court. Our court's correspondent Frank Rainey has more.
Brendan Mullen was found guilty of stealing just over €567,000 from Bank of Ireland Private Bank on dates between 2011 and 2013 while he was managing director. He did so by arranging for sums to be moved from the bank to various legal and financial firms for work carried out for him personally or his company. He also stole €500,000 from the bank during what was described as a breakdown in communication between various arms of the banking group. The money was then transferred to a company called Spice Holdings, a client Mullen had brought into the bank. The bank was fully repaid the funds and therefore not at a loss, something Judge Martin Nolan was asked to take into account before sentencing. He jailed Mullen today for 3 years. Before he did so, Judge Nolan noted there was no motive offered for stealing the money, but inferred that he must have been somewhat desperate. Frank Graney at Dublin Circuit Criminal Court.
The career of Springbok prop Stephen Kitsoff appears to be over. He's undergone neck fusion surgery after sustaining a neck injury while on Currie Cup duty with the Stormers against the Griquas in September. Kitsoff recently told Supersport's Box Office podcast that the injury was to the C1 C2 area, which is just below the skull. He said it occurred during a regular scrum and that something snapped in his neck, which has resulted in him requiring fusion surgery. Reports from South Africa say the operation took 6 hours to complete. Kitsoff had only rejoined the Stormers earlier this year after a season with Ulster. Australia looks set to be without star newcomer Joseph Suaalii for Saturday's test with Ireland. The recent convert from rugby league injured his arm in tackling Sione Tuipulotu during yesterday's 27-13 loss to Scotland at Murrayfield. Suaalii has been one of the shining lights of the Wallabies Northern Hemisphere tour, having made his debut in the win over England earlier this month. This Saturday's game will of course reunite Wallabies head coach Joe Schmidt with a host of his former players and indeed the Irish rugby public as a whole, and he's looking forward to the occasion.
I'm really excited about getting back. I don't know about being love bombed though. I coached against them a couple of times at the All Blacks and I think I was pretty unpopular there. So, you know, I'll swap sides again and there'll be a degree of unpopularity, but the way my family and I were looked after in Dublin was fantastic and right around Ireland. So, yeah, it's a special place for us. Obviously, we still have a home there and a daughter, and I'm looking forward to catching up with her actually as well. So, yeah, it'll be a nice week to get back there, but there's only one game in town, and that's all about the footy and trying to help these guys prepare as best they can.
This month's tour has renewed confidence that Australia can pose a threat to Andy Farrell's Lions next summer, but Schmidt isn't thinking about the opposition composition just yet.
Yeah, I guess you just get so busy in these match weeks, and we have to be pretty adaptable, so we're trying to just get ourselves sorted at the moment. And the big project for us at the moment is really just trying to build the belief amongst our group and probably look less about the Lions while we're building toward that, look less about them personally, but more about we know how challenging that's going to be. Let's just build some belief and some some structure around our game that will best serve us to be prepared when they do arrive next July.
Starting tomorrow, only in the Daily Mail.
Got a new book deal. It's called Caring About Care. So you get all the details in that book. Leave your pre-order forms, but if you want to read about it, then there you go. So I'll put a chapter, whole chapter about caring about care, just for you.
Read The Evil Genius, starting tomorrow, only in the Daily Mail.
If you want to read about it, you read it in my book. That's how you get headlines, right?
Jack Conan and Jordan Larmour look set to be plunged straight back into URC action for Leinster after injury forced them out of Ireland's plans this month. Conan missed the last two provincial fixtures prior to the international break after picking up a hamstring injury in Leinster's win over Munster at Croke Park. Jordan Larmour's been out since late September but returns to the squad for Friday's Interpro with Ulster in Belfast. Ryan Baird and Jack Boyle have also been released from Ireland duty to prepare for that Ulster fixture. Friday's game, however, will come too soon for Jimmy O'Brien, but he's back in training, having suffered a hamstring injury against Benetton. Hookers John McKee and Lee Barron are also in contention for the day at Kingspan Stadium. Meanwhile, head coach Leo Cullen has given an update on new recruit Jordy Barrett, who was forced to miss the All Blacks win over Italy this past weekend in Turin with a knee injury.
He is in this week, so he has just been back and forth over on the phone, so he'll be in this week. He was ruled out at the weekend. Thankfully, he's not serious, so, but again, we just need to get some eyes on him and make a call as to when he gets up and running fully.
Friday's game with Ulster will be Cullen's first since signing a new two-year contract with Leinster. I asked him what case he put forward in the renewal of the deal.
I've had a lot of people chasing after me, so... We would have conversations all the time, succession, you know, players, coaches, just another cog in the wheel, really. It's important we get it right. And the conversations, I would question myself. Am I still adding value to the group? What's the group need? So it's important that we have these, you know, conversations, mature, and doing what's best for Leinster, ultimately. So I'm appreciative for the people here at Leinster that back me, with Shane Nolan, who's our CEO here, and David Humphreys in the union, guys to me who manages the contracts here as well. The support is second to none that I would get here from Leinster, the professional game board. But at the same time, it's important that we always ask these questions of ourselves. So we've had quite a bit of change, if you think back to, the 25th of November, Jacques arrived this time last year. Tyler has arrived at the start of this season. So he's here for pre-season. He was back and forth with his family. Now they're fully arrived here, which is great. He's only moved them across last week. But anyway, they're settled now, which is nice. So there has been quite a bit of change anyway. That freshness is still important. So anyway, but it's a conversation that we'll continue to have. Professional sport, as we know, is not for the faint-hearted, and we've seen some turnover of head coaches in the URC already this year, mid-season, six games into the season. So we know it's not for the faint-hearted, and I'm as enthused as ever been in the job. Listen, I love the role. There's a good group here. We've got some good young players coming through. But listen, we're literally off to back of the conversation we're having currently with some young players that are coming through, and seeing the progress of some of those guys. I've seen them since they're young, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, to see them, their progression coming through the different teams, to see them go on to represent Ireland now is fantastic. And I'm as ambitious as ever to making sure that throughput of talent comes through, but also then at the top end, trying to kick on and be successful with this group that we have as well.
Will Connors was one of the more experienced Leinster players to feature in their recent A fixtures. The flanker's also been kept busy off the field, working with friends on a coffee shop and also studying a rugby-related PhD.
So I suppose, firstly, the coffee shop, it was just a few friends from school. It's called Typo Coffee. We have a drive-thru down in Maynooth, and we went into a bit of coffee roasting as well, and just trying to kind of, I suppose, get a bit of insight as to how businesses like that work, and yeah, I suppose the four of us have kind of been in the journey with that. I suppose getting a good idea how it works. But no, it's been something really exciting, and getting to do it with mates from school is like we're all in on the same journey on it. It's been absolutely class. And then with the studies, I've been doing a PhD for the last two years. It's a computational analysis of the rugby tackle. So I suppose my motivation behind it is to take another approach at, I suppose, analysing the tackle and just trying to, I suppose, get a bit better understanding of the features of it, how dangerous tackles look, how good tackles look, and trying to tie in my kind of experience and expertise around the computer end of it. It's been two really exciting journeys that I've been fortunate to get in on, and it's having them kind of outside of rugby has definitely been a great way to, I suppose, to drive myself in other areas.
As regards to the studying of the tackle, is that something that's influenced how you approach the game now when you're on the field?
Currently it's a lot of method based of actually trying to get the computer to understand, which I suppose doesn't really make too much sense. But I think the motivation came from me having a good kind of look at the tackle when Hugh Hogan was here. Both of us really interested in, I suppose, the workings of the tackle, and that's kind of where I think over time I realised that just small little things like footwork into the tackle, head on correct side, really simple things that you can teach kids from any age, how much of an effect they have on not just a good tackle but a safe tackle. So really just trying to understand the impact all these small little parts of the tackle have. So I suppose in hopefully 2 years time, or whenever I finish it up, I have a good understanding of and be able to share an understanding of what a really dangerous tackle looks like, and what an optimal kind of positive tackle looks like.
There's bad news for young Connacht centre Hugh Gavin. He picked up an ankle injury in their most recent URC outing against the Dragons and has required surgery. Gavin will be out until mid-February as a result, meaning he'll miss all four rounds of the Challenge Cup pool stage. As he works his way back from a long-term knee injury, JJ Hanrahan is targeting a comeback by mid-January, coinciding with the final round of European pool fixtures. Prop Peter Dooley is out until the Christmas Interpros due to a calf injury, but Pete Wilkins will be boosted by the returns from Ireland duty of Dave Heffernan and Pumas back Santiago Cordero for Saturday's URC fixture with the Vodacom Bulls in Galway. Caelan Doris was pipped to World Rugby Player of the Year last night by Springboks flanker Peter Steph Dutoy. Dutoy also beat competition from teammates Eben Etzebeth and Cheslin Colby. England fullback Ellie Kildun was crowned Women's 15s Player of the Year, a category that also saw her teammate Alex Matthews, France scrum half Pauline Bardon-Sansu and Canadian centre Alex Tessier nominated. There was Irish success in the Women's 15s Breakthrough Player of the Year category, where Ireland flanker Erin King emerged victorious. She pipped England back row Maddie Faunati, teenage Wallaroos fullback Caitlin Halsey and New Zealand at half Hannah King to that particular prize. Dynamic All Blacks back rower Wallace Satiti was named Men's 15s Breakthrough Player of the Year, and Antoine Dupont turned his acceptance speech for Men's 7s Player of the Year into something of a golden cleric moment. There had been criticism of his dalliance with the 7s game, taking time out of course from the 15s to help France win Olympic gold. Dupont told reporters last night that he recalls the first articles written about his decision to switch to 7s before adding, "I don't have a short memory." Ireland's Terry Kennedy had been shortlisted for that award won by Dupont, but had to settle for a place on the Men's 7s Dream Team of the Year. Women's 7s Player of the Year went to Australia's Madison Levi. Nolan Le Garrick, finishing off a swashbuckling France move against England on St Patrick's Day, saw the scrum half win Try of the Year. Marie Ménager's effort for France against Canada in September's WXV saw her win the Women's Try of the Year. And back to the 15s game, the Team of the Year saw four Ireland players make the cut. Will Jordan of the All Blacks was at full back. Cheslin Colby and James Lowe were the wingers. Damien Delende and Jesse Creel are an All-South African centre partnership. Jameson Gibson-Park was named at scrum half, where he's partnered by Damien McKenzie. In the front row, it's Oxen Che, Malcolm Marks and the All Blacks' Terrell Lomax. Eben Etzebeth is joined in the second row by Ireland's Tyke Byrne. Argentina's Pablo Matera got recognised as blindside flanker. Player of the Year Dutoy is at open side, and Caelan Doris was the best number 8 of the year. Women's Team of the Year include included Ireland flanker Aoife Wafer. It had Player of the Year Ellie Kildon at fullback. Abby Dow of England and Caitlin Vahakolo of New Zealand are on the wings. In the centre then, it was New Zealand's Sylvia Brunt and Canada's Alex Tessier. Holly Aitchison of England was partnered by Bourdon Sansou of France in the halfbacks. Hope Rogers of the USA, Georgia Ponsonby of New Zealand and Maud Muir of England were in the front row. Zoe Aldcroft and Letitia Royer are in the second row then. Aoife Wafer is a blindside flanker. Sophie De Good of Canada was named at open side, and England's Alex Matthews completes the team at number 8. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. My name is Richie McCormack. I'll have more Rugby Daily for you with thanks to Bank of Ireland tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.